Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Way late on a break. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. Well, because we had a great segment, though. That's why. Because we had everybody talking about what they learned this weekend in one sentence. Great stuff. Okay, so Washington. Well, I learned this weekend that maybe the NFC North isn't the best division. Maybe it's the NFC East that's the best division. You know, what with all of the wins in the NFC, well, both teams on the NFC Championship game. You know, that's kind of funny. The NFC East were probably a little bit overlooked this year, and they got both teams in the game. So you've got a guarantee of an NFC East team in there, and you got, I think are the two best teams all year in the AFC in that championship game. What do you got? What do you think the line? Have you seen the line?
Yeah, it's 1.5 Chiefs.
Chiefs are 1.5,
yeah.
And the NFC title game?
NFC title game is 5.5, I think.
Yeah, it was open as a 6-point game, 47.5, and now it's 5.5 and 48. I don't know. Man, can Washington win at Philadelphia and go to the Super Bowl?
Look, man, they've seen each other twice. It's actually been pretty good games. Yeah, they can. Keep saying that Jaden Daniels can't do something. Keep saying it. I keep waiting for him to run into – he's unflappable. Tom Brady loves him. He loves the poise. The guy just has ice water in his veins. He's a good passer. They've got Dan Quinn. Basically, they ask him, like, what happened to you? You got the backwards hat now. You basically just say, F it. He's like, I developed an F it mentality. He said, I thought if I get this chance again, this is what you got to do. You got to just let it. You got to let them hang. And that's what he does. They go for fourth more than anybody and get it more than anybody. So, I don't know, man. This would be a wild story if Jaden Daniels rises rookie season to the Super Bowl.
So winning the Heisman.
I mean, for them. I don't want Philly to go. I don't want to see Jalen Hurts and Philly there anymore. It'd be cool for Saquon Barkley. I'm rolling with the good story. I'm going with Daniels and Washington.
So Jalen Hurts runs 44 yards for his first touchdown. What does he do in celebration? Do you remember?
What did he do? Probably just hand the ball to the ref.
Nope. He put his hand to his ear like, I can't hear you. You know what that means to me? That means to me that he feels underappreciated in Philadelphia. It means to me that maybe Philly might be, I don't know, that he doesn't feel like, you know, I can't hear you. Oh, I want to hear you now. Oh, can I hear you? Can I hear you now? As opposed to, yeah, let's all, you know, celebrate, you know, the lead together. I don't know where people are in Philadelphia. I'm pretty sure he still catches it in Philly, right?
Well, yeah.
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 Everybody
right
catches.
Now, yeah, they want. Oh no, I saw people on Twitter who want Todd Monken fired immediately for that game. I'm like, what? It's just, you can't. Yeah, of course he's catching it. Jalen has not thrown the ball great for a little while, but he's winning. What do you want him to do? He's in the NFC Championship game again. He may go to a second Super Bowl. I'm sure, with Philly fans. Andy Reid kept catching it, so it doesn't matter in Philly. It doesn't matter. You have to keep, not only win, but keep winning.
Yeah. Well, I think an Eagles Super Bowl will turn all of that. I mean, they're, you know, the Eagles are king in Philadelphia. There's no question about that. And, yeah, well, I guess Peterson gets fired 2 years after he wins it all. So,
yeah.
I get, yeah.
You got to keep winning championships or you suck.
Right.
That's how they look at you. You won, great, big deal anyway. Move on to the next one.
Yeah, now we got to get another one. Let's go. Let's go. All right, we got to catch up on breaks. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. We got a little underdog going on right now.
Underdog Fantasy gives you a chance to play your national title game tonight. Higher or lower, where are you going? I'm telling you right now, Jonathan Smith, higher on yardage. Jeremiah Smith. They call him Jonathan. Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State. Coming off a nothing game. Higher on total yardage, higher on first touchdown scored, higher on first quarter receiving yards. These are all things that you can take a look at. Now, you can only play one statistic from an individual player. But, you know, maybe you go lower. I just think they're going to roll Notre Dame. So I'm going to go higher or lower based on my opinions of how the game's going to go. And then, you know, you can mix and match that with the NFL playoff games that are coming up if you want to have it span over, you know, multiple days and wait for it to finish. But what I like to do is I'm going to have a college football championship play with Underdog Fantasy, and then I'm going to go do it with the playoffs as well. And in between, there's going to be some NBA basketball. It's all available through Underdog Fantasy. Use promo code Lance, and you are going to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash. But you've got to use promo code Lance. So go to Underdog Fantasy, download the app today and enjoy playing the games while you're watching the games. You must be 18 or older and present in state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got a couple of callers here that we are going to get to. Before we do, we haven't even mentioned Kyemi Fairbairn. Kyemi Fairbairn was a mess. I agree, it was a bad call to actually get, you know, try that field goal. It was awful, though. That was awful. He wasn't the only one this weekend that missed an extra point. Elliott also missed an extra point. But it's almost inexcusable. In a big game like this, as good as you are, Kyemi Fairbairn, you got to be better. And then the blocked field goal as well. It was a mess. Special teams lost. The offensive line lost. The defense did its job, that's for sure.
We hadn't talked about first drive. Kickoff, terrible kick coverage. Chris Boyd.
Well, we haven't talked about Chris Boyd either, yeah.
So Chris Boyd makes the tackle and creates a fumble. The Texans had a chance to fall on it. Well, they really didn't. Samaje Perine did a great job of trailing the play and getting on the fumble. That's why they always tell you trail the play. You just never know what's going to happen. It falls on a fumble. Texans couldn't recover it. Chris Boyd. So here's what happened. I found this out. Chris Boyd made the play, thought that the Texans recovered the turnover, and then I think that he – I don't know why he threw his helmet. I don't know what that was about. He gets to the sideline. Now, from what I understand, he had initially thought they had created a turnover, was running off the field. He may have thrown his helmet in disgust when he realized they didn't get it. And I guess somebody from he was getting excited. I guess Frank Ross was, you know, yelling at him about, hey, we didn't recover the, you know, something like that. Because initially I heard that he was pushing him, like, when you see guys who are hyped up,
yeah,
and they push coaches, like, there's a chance that it was also that, but it looked terrible.
Yeah.
It looked absolutely terrible.
Yes.
On the screen.
The first thing I thought of, Chris Boyd, you're not good enough to be pushing a coach.
I mean,
you're gonna,
are you
kidding
me?
That's just immediate designated for assignment.
Yeah.
And no one's going to want to pick you up. Okay? You're not good enough.
That came off looking terrible. They asked him about it after the game, and he addressed it. But
it was bad.
So you have that, and then the Texans defense holds up three.
That's all.
Bad D'Amico call where he went for it on 4th and 10 with like 10 minutes to go when they couldn't protect anybody. They take a 16-yard sack. Defense holds up. No touchdowns off of that.
Yeah.
You know, it was like
in their territory.
Yeah. The defense did a great job the other night. Lassiter, I didn't figure the wide receivers to do much, honestly, against the Texans.
The defense did a great job, except how could you lose Jason? How could you lose Travis Kelce all day?
I don't know, man.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Zero.
I mean, Travis Kelce's their biggest weapon.
Zero.
How in the world did you not? How do you? I mean, I don't.
You're in zone.
And oh, by the way, no. Having Dalton Schultz block the outside all day long, it was ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Well, he tried to, he's supposed
one time he tried to chip and just missed, didn't do anything.
He missed, he didn't even try.
He didn't even try.
He hasn't given effort as a blocker at all.
You've got him blocking a Menihu one-on-one.
Him and a Goombawala.
And Karloftis. Wait a minute. And then Karloftis.
With
Schultz and
Goombawala.
And Dare.
And he just ran through those two guys.
I mean, what the hell? This is your game plan, for a Karloftis?
If you know that there's no Stover, people are done with. I'm done with Schultz. I think he's a pretty good pass catcher, but I'm done with Schultz. He gives no effort as a blocker at all. Your job is to put a body on a rusher to slow things down. And if you can't even be bothered to do that, you already don't run block. If you can't be bothered to just chip when you got to chip when they need help up front, then I just don't have time for that. I don't know how D'Amico has time for that. You got to do your job, man. You got to do the necessary things to win. And if that means being a little physical, despite the fact you don't like to, put a nose in, man. Be willing. Be willing to at least slow the guy down. He shows no willingness to do something like that. That disgusts me. Disgusts me.
All right. Let's get Gary in here. Because we got to get to Dell's ship talk on the other side. Hey, Gary, what's up?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I wanted to address Lance. In the first segment, you said that when they were talking about quarterback, that those numbers and whatever really don't matter. So if they don't look, listen, we play the eye test. And the four quarterbacks remaining are the ones I would take. But we still want to put Burrow, I get it, in it. If you look at and we don't want to put Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts initiated that game, got the crowd involved, and did whatever he did. Also, if you follow their college careers, not exactly the same, but Jalen Hurts had success in college as well, and then he took Philly to the Super Bowl. So, if Burrow gets credit for beating Patrick Mahomes and out of they started slow. Burrow did, Burrow some big-time interceptions this year. So, but when numbers don't matter, Herbert shouldn't be in there.
Numbers matter, play matters. Saquon Barkley had 2,000 yards rushing, Gary. Come on now. 2,000-yard rusher.
Lance did it the other year without him.
Okay, Joe Burrow had the greatest season. You're talking about Jalen in college. Okay. Joe Burrow had the greatest year in college history. Joe Burrow got to the Super Bowl in his second year. Come on now.
I'm calling in.
Jalen, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Make some sense, Gary.
I heard you guys all day. But look, when it comes to Herbert, I like what John said. He didn't play well. But you jump right in. Well, he did have a great year.
He had a good year.
With three interceptions. But then you go ahead and play it back when you get off the air. Numbers don't tell the
whole
story.
Gary, I already know. I know. It's eye test. It's a black quarterback and white quarterback. You said last week you only care about black quarterbacks. We get it. We can't have a real – but I know. No, I know it's the truth. We can't – that's why I can't take – No, I feel like this. Jaden Daniels is the best right now, the most dynamic quarterback in the playoffs right now. It goes Josh Allen and Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is way better than Jalen Hurts. I don't care if a quarterback is black or white. I don't have an agenda like you do. You can't even have a conversation ever without this coming up. I can't take you seriously. You just made the worst argument I've ever heard. Went Joe Burrow versus Jalen Hurts. Come on, dude. We can't even, like, I can't take you serious saying stuff like that.
Yeah,
please.
No.
Jalen's not that dude. Saquon's that dude. But I give Jalen a lot of respect. He does his job as a game manager and has made winning plays. I give him a lot of respect. He lost his job in Alabama to Tua. He went and had a really good year with Lincoln Riley, like a lot of guys do. Big ups to Jalen Hurts. I think he has done a fantastic job with what he's done. He's not one of the best quarterbacks. He's the worst quarterback left in the playoffs, and he's not one of the best quarterbacks in this league. He's just not.
No, well, he's not.
I'm sorry, he's not.
You listen, you even mentioned him as a top five. You said, nah, it's not Jalen Hurts. Okay. Listen, Joe Burrow's better, Gary. Stop. Joe Burrow's a better quarterback. He just is.
Yeah,
if you're going to start a team and you got a choice of Joe Burrow or Jalen Hurts.
This is a weird thing to pick out. Justin Herbert had a really good year this year. No. He had a really bad game against the Texans. I wouldn't take him in the top five. I basically said, you think about it, but right now Jaden Daniels is in there. I'm just having a football conversation. If I have to make – it must be exhausting for you to just for your opinions. You have to wait to see what somebody's race is before you can have an opinion. That's got to be exhausting to not be able to have just a free-flowing, honest conversation unless you put a racial dynamic in it. It must literally be the most exhausting thing of your day to have to go through and say, wait a minute, let me sift this through my racial filter real quick. I mean, Herbert had a pretty good year. I'm not really a Herbert guy. I think Herbert, as I've said, if you've listened, I think Herbert has been anointed prematurely, but this year he had one of his best years because they ran the football well and less was expected of him. The same way Jalen Hurts is here because Saquon Barkley's there. They ran the football well. Josh Allen is where he is because guess what? James Cook became a bigger part. They ran the football well. It took less pressure off. Lamar Jackson, his best year ever? I wonder why. They ran the football well with Derrick Henry. I mean, I'm trying to have football conversations. You can save racial stuff and culture wars for somewhere else. Don't bring it to me because I don't give a flying anything.
10-12, Gary.
10-12.
You want to call in and talk about why quarterbacks aren't great and why and announcers like Lance treat them unfairly because of certain issues? 10-12, Gary.
I mean, I'm sitting here loving Jay.
Gary,
loving
that's a call. Daniels. That is a call for 10-12.
I think Lamar's going to take, I know he hasn't gotten there. I think he's going to take probably a little too much heat for this one because of how bad his first, but he brought them back and played really well in the second half and actually throws the ball more accurately than he ever has. I think he's developed like crazy. When I talk about quarterbacks, I'm talking about the quarterback. I'm not talking about the melanin or lack thereof. But 10-12.
10-12.
Dell said 10-12, bring it to 10-12.
We'll rank them.
No.
By level of melanin, actually.
Okay.
Not about.
Well, we know how you feel.
No. It won't be stats, it won't be wins. I'll rank them by melanin. Just a clue. Mahomes fourth.
Burrow. Is Burrow one of the worst quarterbacks in the league?
No, he's not in the playoffs. We're not ranking guys who are in the playoffs.
Okay.
Playoff
quarterbacks.
I'm ranking Mahomes fourth.
For melanin?
Maybe.
Okay. All right, we got a break. Ship Talk is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance and I are talking about Aqueduct Plumbing. That's what we're talking. Oh, like that little commercial that ran before the show where Dell said, man, F your buddies. My buddies have to call me and ask me, hey, what's that number for the plumbing company? I'm like, don't be that guy. Put that number in your phone so you got it. You can protect your family from protect your home. Listen, we got a freeze here. Lance, this is a freeze time, right? What's going to happen? Pipes are going to burst,
yeah,
right?
That's what happens.
And who are you going to call?
Well, some of you did not get your pipes taken care of, and some of you thought you did, but it's still going to be a problem. So make sure you run your water and all that stuff, but somebody's going to have problems. It's going to burst.
There's going to be problems.
There's going to be problems. I already know. So you better have Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Give them the number right now, John.
281-488-6238.
Bang. Put it in the phone.
Don't tweet us. Or X.
Yeah, you can ask us. You can ask us.
Yeah, but here's the deal.
I'll tell
you. That's wasting time. When your pipes burst, you need it right away.
Well, that's true.
281-488-6238. That's Aqueduct Plumbing Company.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Ship talk time. And I want to thank Kim. For those of you watching on Twitch or if you're watching on YouTube or wherever, you see this, my home plate that Chase got me, Chase and Wayne. Hall of Fame home plate. Got it.
It doesn't say Gartano anymore.
No, it doesn't say Gartano. It says Granato. So there. There, everybody that made fun of me. Okay? Okay, there.
Well, that's the name's never leaving.
Beautiful. The what?
The name's never leaving. You'll always be Gartano.
That's ship talk right there. But Dell's got more ship talk for us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dell, where are we starting?
Yeah. We're not... Well, we haven't paid a lot of attention to Detroit Pistons basketball, but apparently, you know, with Cade Cunningham likely being an all-star, they've played better. And that rivalry between them and the Pacers is back. We remember way back with the Malice in the Palace. But this is J.B. Bickerstaff, now the Pistons coach, formerly the Cavaliers coach, talking about the Pacers and all their talking they did after their win over the Pistons earlier or late last week.
I hope so. You know, I just hope that, you know, when we were kicking their ass at their place, you know, it wasn't the same. So if that's the way it's going to be, like, let's make it that way.
Who said this was J.B. Bickerstaff. At the end of the game, their last game, Pascal Siakam was talking a lot to the Pistons, and he said, oh, you weren't talking so much when we're beating you. So Pascal's like the guy Jordan talks about. Don't talk when you win. Talk throughout. And so the Pistons and Pacers back at it again. Who the Rockets play tonight? Pistons. They play them tonight. See if the Rockets, after beating Portland, bounce it back from their loss at Sacramento, can get another one. Amen Thompson is questionable tonight against the Pistons.
What happened to him?
I don't remember exactly what it was. I just know he didn't play in the last game.
Yeah, I can't remember what happened to him, but...
All right, we move...
Amen's officially my favorite Rocket. He's past Alperen Şengün. It's Amen Thompson. Mm. Yeah, it's official.
Look at that.
I'm kind of with you on that one.
We move to the James Harden of the NFL, Lamar Jackson. He had a
10 to 12 is going to be a mother for you.
I didn't call him that. That's what everyone else is calling him. He had a lot of things to say after the loss, but as far as what fits what we do here, we listened to Lamar Jackson, and I had to bleep out things, so I'll explain it to you if you don't understand. Here's Lamar Jackson in a bit after the game.
Hold on to the f***ing ball. I'm sorry for my language, but this shit annoying. I'm tired of this shit, man.
Hold on to the effing ball.
He was talking about himself. Just for context.
He wasn't talking about Mark Andrews.
He wasn't talking about Mark Andrews. Nobody on that team would take shots at Mark Andrews. In fact, in a separate comment, he said he's been busting his ass for us, playing well. Lamar's showing great leadership because he's protecting his guy. Of course, they're all devastated. Mark Andrews literally cost you a chance to play an AFC championship game and potentially win a Super Bowl.
On two consecutive
possessions.
He hurt
Lamar Jackson with a chance to kill off the narrative.
Two consecutive possessions.
Was it consecutive? Yeah.
The fumble. Yeah. The Buffalo went and kicked the field goal.
I thought the fumble was...
No.
There wasn't a possession
then
in between.
They went down, those were the last two possessions. Yeah.
The fumble.
Oh, yeah, because that possession took a little while.
Took a long time off the clock, and, you know.
Oh, my God. The fumble and the missed.
Yeah, but John Harbaugh did a good job calling timeouts and keeping
They had three-plus minutes.
They had time.
And they went down really quickly. It didn't take them that long, so maybe Buffalo would have come down and kicked the field goal.
By the way, I thought it was the right move to kick the field goal. I saw somebody... You know, what I don't like is when analytics guys or somebody or people who pretend to dabble in it, the right move, the play, was to kick the field, not go for it on fourth and goal from the two. The play is to kick an easy field goal, get it to eight, so that in case Lamar Jackson goes down and scores, he has to make a two-pointer to tie it.
Yeah.
It's not to go for it, miss it, and have Lamar Jackson rip your heart out at the end of the game, which he would have done.
The worst you could do is tie, so that was the right call.
A lot of people,
all right, Dell, what's next?
Yeah, a lot of people are thinking back to when they went for it and got it against the Bills, but different scenarios. Let's go to Charles Barkley. You know where the All-Star game is this year, John? San Francisco. And Charles has the same thoughts about San Francisco that you two do.
Cade Cunningham's had a season.
He's had a great season.
And won 24-7 and 9 with 7 triple doubles. Man, he's been balling.
Oh, he going. He, listen, he don't make the All-Star team. I'm not going.
Yeah.
I'm not going to that rat-infested place out in San
Francisco. Oh, stop, man.
Golden State.
Just look at the highlights.
Golden State.
Miles Turner hitting another three, and then a big swat.
Francisco, the beautiful
and
San Francisco,
a big finish by Tyrese Halliburton.
His couch chugging got rats.
Rats,
cat.
111 to 100, la 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 la. 111 to 100, Indiana with the win.
The y'all are not gonna make me like San Francisco.
23 and 19. We're not. I know. Just keep it to yourself. 21 and 20 now.
No.
Thankfully, just one more highlight to get to.
Chuck's a guy with FU money.
You know what? Though?
And he just won't be
because
Ernie is.
Yeah. Chuck might have said something that was really, really inappropriate.
Well, he could have really gone off the edge.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
homeless
yeah.
people. Like, he could have taken
not
shots that people
worse.
Said, hey, Chuck, you went to. Possibly, but I feel like Chuck knows not to go there.
Well, man, I hope. You
that's
know.
Kind of an older
but
little
that's,
thing. Yeah.
But that's good. That's good blocking out by Ernie.
Ernie
that's
did a
really
great
good
job
blocking
there.
Out.
Yeah. La, 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 la.
La, la. He even went to the la, la, la. I know, Chuck. Just watch the highlights.
Just watch the highlights. Okay, we got one more. Sticking with basketball. Mick Cronin, not happy.
Is this three straight weeks Mick's been on?
Well, we didn't play him on Ship Talk, but you had a clip of him that we played. This is a different one because a reporter asked him about, well, you'll hear it, but Mick wasn't having the reporter's question.
So much has been made about you guys going east. You just came back from a prolonged East Coast trip. Yeah. I'm wondering, have you seen anything from the teams that have to come out here and stay out here? Is there any kind of balance with that in terms of the wear and tear and just what you've seen on
wear
the court?
Wear and tear on them?
Yeah.
Is that a joke? Please tell me that's a
is
joke.
Is it even comparable is essentially
comparable.
What I'm trying to say.
Have you ever looked at the NBA stats and what the gamblers and all those people do on West versus East? Talk to Eric Musselman. Ask him that question. Who coached in the NBA? Good luck, West going East. Okay? And ask me UCLA's record east of the Mississippi in the last 20 years. Because when I got the job, I looked it up for scheduling purposes. It's under 500, okay? We have to go back four times. Uh-huh. The Big Ten teams get to come to Los Angeles where it's 70 degrees one time a year. They don't even have to switch hotels. We're in the same, we're 12 miles apart. Are you kidding me? Please tell me you're kidding me. Is this a planet question? I mean, you cannot be serious with that. And meanwhile, we've seen the Eiffel Tower, or we've seen the Statue of Liberty twice in the last 3 weeks while we were landing. We also saw the Capitol building. I mean, you kidding me? I mean, you can't possibly, and we still got to go back. And then we got to go back for the Big Ten tournament. But you can't possibly be serious.
Well, that's the thing. You have four more trips to those to make.
Yeah. Just don't talk, dude.
They do it one time. You can't possibly stop. I'm going to eat, man. You can't. I mean, he's asked me to feel sorry because Iowa had to come to L.A. for a few days.
Mick Cronin needs to just stop coaching. Like it's just too much for him right now. Mick is so full of anger and spite, he can't even control himself anymore. Now, everything he said was true.
That's true. It's true.
Everything you said was true, but Mick is on one right now.
Yeah, that's
like,
a dumb question.
My team
though.
Is so soft. They're the softest, but and they're talking about they work hard. They don't outwork me. My team sucks. Like Mick is saying this out with his out loud voice. Mick doesn't want to be there right now at all. Mick Cronin is mad.
He's mad.
It is dumb. The non-regional, the breakup of the Pac-12 has led to some stupid stuff now, scheduling-wise. But y'all know the deal. You know the deal.
All right. Good Ship Talk, Del. Nice stuff. 713-780-3776. If you've got any kind of a racial issue with Lance, give us a call.
Particularly on today of all days.
Yes. This is a great day for you to let out your racial innuendos toward Lance.
Well, I just heard it was the discussion. We're going to get into a deep dive on Jalen Hurts versus Joe Burrow. It's the topic that everyone's covering today.
That's it.
So that's the most important.
You know, CFP.
Never mind the Chiefs versus Texans.
Whatever. Hurts versus Burrow.
Or CFP, which we won't even talk about. Ohio State's going to stomp a mud hole in them, and that'll be that.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see.
A mud hole.
You two have different
stomped.
Opinions on that.
I got a different opinion on that game. I've got the same
play it
opinion.
Play like it's
that,
already been played.
I've got the same opinion that I've always had about Chastain Ford. Love him. Hey, and listen, right now, They've got great deals right now, leases for the Bronco Sport Big Ben, the F-150 STX, the Escape PHEV Hybrid. But if you need a work truck that works as hard as you, the F-250, it can tow up to 22,000 pounds. That's like hauling four elephants. Yeah. Chastain Ford specializes in work-ready vehicles from service body trucks to box truck, and you can build for your own business needs, okay? They will customize it perfectly for you. Why do you think Chastain Ford has been the number one Ford dealer, commercial Ford dealer, in the city? Well, they've been good. I mean, the F-Series has been America's best-selling truck for over 40 years now, and Chastain Ford is doing it better, customizing it exactly the way you want it, not the way they want it. And they know the business. I talked to Patrick one time. He said, man, this guy bought a truck, and I know his business because I've sold different ones to different businesses. I said, you need to do it this way. And he did, and he couldn't have been happier because Patrick knew exactly what he needed. It's what they do, okay? They customize it for you perfectly for your business. So if you're looking for experience in the commercial game, you got it at ChastainFord.com. On 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Kyle, man, he lasted all the way through Ship Talk and Gary. So let's get him in here, man. Sorry about the wait, but it's the shortest wait times in the business. But you had a little bit of one. That's going to bring it up just a hair. Kyle, welcome in. What's going on?
Hey, guys. I tell you what, man. I know the season ended probably where it should, but do I have, like, battered fan syndrome? Because I see D'Amico falling in to the same trap it seems like Kubiak and other people fell into. He's very loyal. I think it was obvious the different points of the season he should have made a move like Buffalo did, getting rid of Bobby. And I don't even – Lance, you got me convinced he's not firing Bobby, which is scary. And as much as I like Nick Caserio, he seems like he has – fatal flaws in evaluating offensive linemen. And the biggest one, there's two big things from the game yesterday or Saturday drive me nuts. One, why they went back to Shaq Mason and kept him in even when it was clear that it probably would have been better with Juice out there. And two, D'Amico's really struggling with game management. Like that 4th and 10, like if you're going to go for it, fine. I thought it was dumb the way the defense was playing. But then to almost get a delay of game and rush and snap it anyways, at that point, that game was over. And they even got a stop after that, but you could tell it's just they're not going to be able to do it today. And it drives me nuts. I feel like we're wasting one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. And obviously, CJ's a way better person than Deshaun was, but that's what it feels like to me is how we wasted Deshaun's rookie contract when we thought we really had something. I feel like we're doing the same thing again.
Do you feel like, J.J. Watt felt like that the organization wasted his career? Do you feel like that, you know, I know it's a step and they're taking a step and they need to take another step and it's a process and all of that stuff, but do they move fast enough ever for any of us?
No, and talking about, feeling like he's getting caught up in the Kubiak thing, I kind of get it. I get where he's coming from. And, the loyalty thing, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I thought Sloak was fine on Saturday. I didn't think play calling was a big issue. I thought they're going up against a good defense in literally temperatures they never play in. I thought they actually moved the ball pretty well. I thought the game fell apart with the kicking game, a couple of, even the 15-yard penalty, like I think the officiating hurt them some. I don't think it's the only reason. It did hurt them some because even if they get a 15-yard penalty and don't score the Chiefs, it still changes field position, and it was a field position game. So, the kicking hurt them. I think D'Amico's decision-making was terrible. I've mentioned it, the field goal and the fourth down. But one was in the second quarter. One was in the I think it was the second quarter where D'Amico tried to kick a field goal. I'm pretty sure, yeah, from 55. And then the fourth and 10 where you weren't even protecting, that made no sense to go for it there when you had some time. But, you know, I was thinking about this. He said something else, John. He said, like, I'm thinking, why is Buffalo? Buffalo had a COVID guy in Spencer Brown who couldn't play at Northern Iowa the year he, you know, he had 2 years in college and as a starter and then couldn't play his last year because of COVID and then came out. Gained 85 pounds at Northern Iowa. Came in as a tight end, gained 85 pounds, super athletic. Then you got Deion Dawkins on the other side who's, you know, and the right tackle is kind of a sleek guy. Then your left tackle is just a kind of a blobby player who's really strong but doesn't look the part. Then you got this guy who's kind of a mudslide at right guard who came from Louisiana, University of Louisiana, and went to Florida. But I liked him a lot. You know, I thought he was a good player. And I'm looking at this offensive line. I'm like, man, this is so much better than what the Texans have.
Mm-hmm.
So much better. They've allowed 14 sacks with a guy who will hold on to the ball as well. Now, he's a mobile guy who can – and he can also shake off sacks. I get that. And all I can think of was, what is wrong with the Texans? Number one, they're not instinctive inside. They don't seem to have very good football IQs because they don't recognize twists, despite the fact that they see them all the time. They act like it's the first time they've seen it. Number two, I don't think they're wired right. There's rumors going around that the offensive line coach doesn't even want to be here. I wonder how hard these guys are to coach.
Feeling's mutual.
Well, I know it is. But my point is, we joke about the drip and all that stuff and the offensive line. You know, you got to be – offensive linemen need to be wired a certain way. They're kind of the dirt dogs of the team. They're supposed to be smart. They're tough. They are competitive. They're great teammates. They play for each other. They're the guys who runs over and pick you up, which never happens with CJ, by the way. He's already just got to pick his own ass up because no one's ever helping him up. I don't know that this offensive line is wired right, if I'm being honest with you. The left tackle, the right guard, I mean, the whole damn thing. I don't know that they're wired right. I don't know if they're wired with the right toughness, if they're wired with the right football IQ, if they're wired with the right team attitude, and if they're dirt dogs. You got to be trench warriors. You got to be dirt dogs. Get after people. Be grimy. I don't see grimy with them. I thought they did a good job run blocking the other day. I really did. And I thought the pass pro was actually okay until the fourth quarter when it fell apart, when they started bringing extra pressure. But, my God, I just don't think they're wired right, John. So we can get rid of the offensive line coach, which I do believe that's going to happen. And I think you'll hear about it soon. Slowick's not going anywhere. He's going to get a third year. Bad second year, good first year. They need to see what he's got third year. But this offensive line, I don't know. You wanted to give Titus a contract, he got a contract. I don't know if Nick Caserio is a good evaluator of offensive line. It's one thing to have the athletic stuff, but a big part of offensive line sometimes isn't how you move your feet and this, that, and the other. It's how tough you are and how smart you are. And sometimes, yes, it's the intangibles of what kind of teammate and how grimy you are. Because it's something that matters. I've seen it for too many years. The most talented guys don't always win on offensive line. It just – your left tackle is one of the most talented offensive tackles in all of football. And I just don't think it really matters enough.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
He's good. Is he all in?
I don't know if I'm putting this on Nick. Listen.
No. Moving forward, Kenyon Green was the right pick at that time. How was he the right pick? He didn't work out.
No, it didn't work out.
He was never good for the Texans.
But you had him picking him.
I missed him, John. I missed. I'm here to tell you, I missed Kenyon Green. I didn't hit that. It wasn't the right pick.
No, but at the wait a minute. If the kid plays well in college and
– evaluate the person.
Well, it's
– I don't have that.
Well,
I can't
listen,
get
every time you miss, it's not a bad evaluation. That maybe
John,
the kid wasn't
he
the
was,
kid wasn't.
I don't think he was wired right.
Oh.
Where's the confidence?
I don't know. There's a lot of guys. Guys go undrafted and they make the lead.
Why did they? A lot of time it's a mentality or it's an element like strength. You have great play strength. My dad once told me, if you're going to go late in the draft, find the guy who does something really, really well. Typically, it's very strong hands. It's a strong core. It's size. Have something that stands out. You got to have something that stands out, because if you have something that stands out, you can win. The biggest mistake that evaluators make is, worrying too much about athleticism and not enough about strength, because strong guys like George Karloftis will wreck your piss if you don't have something in your more sand in your pants to hold up. You can't win in the NFL if you don't have a certain level of core strength and functional redirection. And, well, and I don't know that Nick is a great offensive.
So who are the picks right now?
Now Nick didn't pick either one of the tackles, but
he picked Fisher. He picked Fisher.
He picked Fisher.
Green.
He signed Shaq. Well, he signed Shaq, right? Yeah,
yes.
He signed Shaq.
He signed
Scruggs.
He picked Scruggs, which honestly, I thought he went a round early on Scruggs, and I didn't love Scruggs for the zone scheme. I didn't think he was a good fit for zone scheme. I liked him more for gap scheme. And Kenyon Green was a miss. I missed him, and Nick missed him. At the end of the day, you are what you do. And that, you know, we missed our evaluation, me and Nick. You know why? Because that guy is never good with the Texans, ever. There was never a time where I said, you know, this Kenyon Green's really kicking ass. Mm. I haven't said that one time. I missed him. So I thought he was good. Like, I thought he was good in college.
Can we keep Nick off the O-line and let him pick DBs? He's good at picking DBs.
He's great at picking DBs. So,
how about wide receivers?
Find some, well, the one that can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Nico? Is any good?
No. Yeah, he picked Nico as his first draft. Yeah, Nico was good. Tank's talented, but tiny. Xavier Hutchinson. John Mechie. I mean, this isn't a Nick problem.
No,
I'm
Nick's
just saying.
Done it. Nick took Stingley. Nick took Petrie.
But it's Nick's job to
Kamari.
Fix the offensive line, John.
You have a franchise quarterback, and your offensive line is broken.
And you got to find a coach, more than likely, and you got to find talent.
And you invested.
That's Nick's job.
You made bad picks.
The next offensive line coach.
And you invested a lot of money in a guy who you don't want as your right tackle.
Nobody's letting an offensive line coach pick his own players. That's not happening.
They don't do that.
I mean, they'll give him some input, but that's going to be Nick's pick.
Yep. Well, take the input. And take your booty to the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. It's cold. Get on I-10. Get out of town.
I bet it's warm at the crap table.
I know it's – what if it gets hot at the crap table? Okay? It's not getting hot in your home. It could get red hot at the crap table. Could get red hot at the poker table. Could get red hot at the blackjack table. All right? And take all their money. Close the Golden Nugget down. Go for it. Okay? Come on, make some bets. Let's go. I mean, this is a terrible week. It's a holiday today. What are you doing? Drive 2 hours. It's still the morning. Go right now to the Golden Nugget, Lake Charles. Get you a hotel room. I wouldn't go by the pool today so much, I don't think, or golf. I'm pretty sure these are not that's not what you – but you always got it there. You got a great concert event center there. I mean, there's nothing negative about the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. 12 different restaurants. You've got the Blue Martini is a wonderful nightclub. Everything. And it's just 2 hours down the road. It ain't 8 hours door-to-door to go to Las Vegas. 2 hours, and you're playing. And the hotel's beautiful. Everything about it. I love the Golden Nugget, and it's right down the road. Let's go. GoldenNuggetLC.com. Make your reservations. Listen, the big game. The NCAA tournament, all of it, GoldenNuggetLC.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.